This is KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Upcoming is the Celtic program, Schottegel.
Support comes from Emporium Presents, featuring flamenco guitarist Jesse Cook at the Paramount Theater on November 6th. Tickets and info available at altitudetickets.com and the Pepsi Center box office.
Well, you're listening to the Schottegel program. Roger Harris sitting in tonight. And tonight is a different sort of show. I decided that tonight is going to be a poetry night, and picked out a number of tunes that feature the poetry of William Butler Yeats that have been set to music by a variety of artists. And sandwiched in the middle of all of that is going to be some music from Call Cannon and an interview with Mick Bolger, lead singer of Call Cannon, in anticipation of their show on Saturday night at Swallow Hill. And then to get a little bit of information from Mick about the impending move of himself and his wife Jean to Ireland in the spring of next year. So I'm going to begin with a Yeats poem called The Stolen Child off the Waterboys Fisherman's Blues album, and then a fairly lengthy tune from Lorena McKennitt, her Mask and Mirror album, a Yeats poem called The Two Trees. So here is The Stolen Child.
Flight to and fro we leap. chasing frothy bubbles while the world is full of troubles and is anxious in its sleep.
Come away, human child, to the water. Come away, human child, to the waters and the wild. With a fairy hand in hand, for the world's more full of weeping than you can understand.
Where the wandering water pushes from the hills above Glencar, and pools among the rushes that scarce could be the star. We seek for slumbering trout and whispering in their ears. We give them in quiet dreams, leaning softly out from ferns that drop their tears. He is going, the solemn-eyed. He'll hear no more the lowing of the calves on a warm hillside, or the kettle on the hob sing peace into his breast, or see the brown mice spot around and around.
The human child.
Schultegale is made possible by you, the KGNU listener member, and by The Celtic Connection. The Celtic Connection is a monthly newspaper for all people with an interest in Celtic news, music, language, culture, and tradition. For subscription information, visit CelticConnection.com or call 303-777-0502.
So, an unusual Waterboys tune from Fisherman's Blues. If you saw them at the Gothic when they were here a couple of weeks ago, their sound has changed considerably from the early days when they did that album, or that particular cut on that album. And then they had done another album that was all Yeats poems set to song. That album was called An Appointment with Mr. Yeats. And I've got another tune coming up from that particular album in a bit. Mick Bulger will be calling in soon. And before he does, I think I will play a Van Morrison version of a Yeats poem, Before the World Was Made. This is off his Too Long in Exile album.
just looking for the face you had before the world was made. Before the world was made. Before the world was made. Your original face. Before time and space. Your original face. Before time and space.
So that was Van Morrison, and Before the World Was Made. All right, I've got Mick Bolger on the line, and so let me see if I can get him now. Mick, can you hear me?
Yes, I can indeed, Roger.
Oh, good. The miracles of modern technology. I've been able to make...
Not that modern anymore, telephones. You know?
Well, no, that's very true.
Yeah.
Sitting here in the studio all by myself, I was able to get the call from the phone to the board and get you on the air. So how are you this evening?
I am doing very, very well. All the better for speaking to you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. You're too kind. Well, Saturday night, what is happening on Saturday night at Swallow Hill?
On Saturday night, Kilcannon will be playing what will probably be one of its last concerts in Colorado for the foreseeable future. We're doing a concert with Take Down the Door, whom you probably know. That's Beth Gadbaugh and Jesse Burns and Adam Agee and John Souza, and then the other guy whose name I cannot remember off the top of my head.
Eric Thurene. Eric Thurene.
Yes, that's right,
yeah.
Yes.
Jesse Burns' husband.
Right, okay, yeah. I didn't know she was married. Okay,
yes.
So they're playing the first half of the concert. We're playing the second half, and I'm sure a good time will be had by all.
What time's the concert start?
I believe it's 8.
Okay, so if it's a Swallow Hill event, then probably doors at 7 and the show at 8. And so the reason why this may be the last Kilcannon concert for the foreseeable future is because...
Well, Gene and I are moving to Ireland next June. We'd hope to do it in early May, late April or early May, as the song title goes or the tune title goes. But there's been a delay on signing off on the house that we're buying, so we can't get into the house until July. But Gene and I are moving there, and we hope to get some gigs for the band in Ireland. And in order to do gigs in the U.S., we would really need to kind of like put a bunch of them together, you know. And that's always a hard thing to do, you know.
Oh, of course.
I mean, it's hard enough just getting a gig, you know, but getting a series of gigs that work together to make it kind of financially viable for Gene and I to come back. And we'd need to come back for a little while too to do rehearsing and stuff like that. We, you know, get your chops back and all that, you know.
And where in Ireland will you be moving to?
Moving to County Clare, southwest Clare, a little place called Labashida. It's on the Shannon Estuary. It's in a little cove on the Shannon Estuary. Mm-hmm. Just a small little place, but we were looking. We went over there in the beginning of went over to Ireland just to look around to see what sort of areas we might, you know, consider moving to. And we got as far as Clare, and then we got as far as Labashida because Gene had a little kind of database of various properties and things like that. But there was kind of one little one left in Labashida, and we went and had a look at it, and we thought, that's it, that's perfect. And figured out that it was, in fact, for sale, though that was a little bit sort of unsure at the time. And it's perfect. It's exactly what we're looking for. It's an old Irish cottage that an architect had bought, and he tore all the inside of it out and rebuilt it and worked on it with his wife, who's an interior designer, and just made a gorgeous job of an old Irish cottage. Instead of, you know, you know this yourself. You've been out in the countryside in Ireland, particularly in the west of Ireland. There's this kind of generic bungalow build, this kind of like little Lego houses, you know, that are just boring. God, they're awful, you know. Yeah. And, you know, they're even worse when people try to make them fancy, you know.
Sure.
You know, with the little carriage lamps and stuff by the front door and things like that, you know.
Oh, but that's
we nice. Found this place, and it's old and it's beautiful, and was, you know, there was a lot of very careful and considered work went into it, so we had to have it.
How far back from the river is it?
Well, you can see the river out of the window of the house.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Yeah, and you walk. Actually, it's right on a corner, and if you walk across the road and jump over the ditch, you'll be in the water, you know.
Where are you from?
Good and close. Yeah.
Where are you from originally, Mick, and how long have you been in the States?
Oh, let's see. Where am I from originally? I was born in Monaghan when my parents were living in Cavan. Monaghan and Cavan are right next to each other. And after that, I lived in Mayo. I also lived for a while in Nigeria and a little while in England. Then after Mayo, moved to Wicklow, and then the family moved up to Donegal. And then after high school, 1969, I left Ireland and moved over to England, and worked and traveled from, used England as my base. You know, I'd go back to Ireland and stuff like that, but, you know, I traveled through Africa and Europe and stuff like that. And then in 1979, I got a scholarship to come and study at CU in Boulder. So I've been here since. It's like 40 years and a couple of months.
Oh, my goodness. I had no idea about your itinerary before you wound up here. Now that's incredible.
Oh, yeah. We're just kind of a nameless hippie, you know.
Oh, sure, sure.
There were plenty of us around, but it was good fun at the time, you know.
And how long has Colcannon been together?
Colcannon's been together, the amount of time since we played our first gig under the name Colcannon has been 35 years. But they were kind of prototypes about a year before that, you know, to try and sort of figure things out. Alex McCannon and Peggy O'Neill were the first people in the lineup, and they spoke to me about joining, and I said, well, that'd be great, because I'd played music with both of them before, you know, in a kind of a ad hoc sort of way. And then they got this guy, Glenn Henderson, who played fiddle and guitar. And so we had like a quartet then. But it really wasn't kind of going anywhere. And Glenn wasn't too happy about playing guitar to accompany me. He just wanted to be playing the fiddle. But then after about 10 months of kind of foostering around trying to make the band work, Larry Worcester joined. And Larry took us all in hand. We would never have survived without him. He was the guy who, put out the tip jar at the gig in the James.
Mm-hmm.
The late, you know.
Yep, yep.
The late, great James, yeah. And then just bank the money until we had enough money to make a little, you know, a cassette, you know, in a small studio, made a cassette, and then we would sell that at the gigs and then bank tip money and cassette money until eventually we were able to make our first CD in like 90 or 91. That was with Tim O'Brien producing it, and he produced our first three CDs, and then Charles Sautel, the late Charles Sautel, did our fourth one.
Mm-hmm.
But by that time, Glenn Henderson had left the band, and Peggy had left the band, So we had Doug Birch in playing hammer dulcimer. And then eventually he left the band and we got Rod Garnett in, and Rod joined us in like 86 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So the current lineup, like Gene is from 86, Mike's from 87, and Rod was from like 87 as well, but you know, he only lasted 24 years in the band and just can't get good help.
Short timer.
Yeah. And then when he left, we had Cynthia Jaffe then for like 7, 8 years, something mm-hmm. like that. I know time just moves so fast anymore. It's kind of hard to tell.
That it does. Yeah. When did Brian join you?
Brian joined in 94.
Wow.
So what's that? That's 25?
Yeah.
Around 26 years, yeah.
Wow. How many albums have you made? And I think somewhere in my CD stash, I've got, or my DVD stash, I have a video that you made.
Oh yeah, that was a video made at the Denver Center,
right?
And that
right.
would have been around about the time the Athens Hotel came out. It would be 1993 or something like that. We have 9 CDs now, and some old tapes and stuff like that. But in terms of our kind of like our better work, we'd say that the CDs are probably the better work. And there's 9 of those, and that DVD that you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
called Cannon in Concert.
Yep, so. fun CD. Now, my theme for tonight is poetry of Yeats, and I did that purposely because of your calling in and the daily poems that you have been writing. How long has that been going on? And you preceded that with a daily haiku for a number of months, years? How long?
Years. Well, the story basically with all of that was that we decided at one point we really needed to get current with social media. So we decided probably that our best options were Facebook and Twitter. And at that time, what you could do is you could send out a tweet and it would turn up on your Facebook page.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And then we thought, well, if we're going to have a Facebook page, everybody says you have to be consistent and post something every day. But you don't want to be posting stuff that just always saying just how great the band is, you mm-hmm. know, or anything like that. You want something that people are interested in, but it's not going to kind of, you know, take up so much of their time and stuff like that that they'll just kind of pass over it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you certainly don't want anything that's going to annoy them. So we decided, why not tweet a haiku every day? It was kind of like upping the ante, you know. Mm. The typical haiku I found is about 70 characters, and at the time, Twitter was a limit of 140. So I thought, well, we'll show them. We'll tweet in haiku and roughly 70 characters each time.
Mm.
So that went on for many years. I counted. I went back on Twitter and sort of figured out there were 2,700 of those went out.
Oh my lord!
2,700 haiku. And then what happened was that certain people were kind of saying to me on Facebook, "Why don't you write longer stuff? You need to write longer stuff. I'd love to see some longer stuff." And one particular woman, Susan Gillette, she browbeat me into writing sonnets. So that the sonnet, the longer form sonnet, and occasionally I'll stick in a limerick or something that's not a sonnet, that's been going on nearly a year now. I've got about 300 poems that are kind of long form.
Are you ever going to collect them and publish them?
Well, I have them on a document on my computer. And people ask me to do that, but you know, getting stuff published is not that easy in poetry in particular.
Right.
You know?
Unless you self-publish.
Yeah. I mean, I've thought about it. I'm kind of like at a stage now in my life where you know, I don't want to be going out there working, looking for people to sort of approve my stuff. I mean, it's like, yeah, plenty of that with the band, you know, calling up people, sending them CDs, sending them press kits and stuff like that, and always kind of hustling to sort of hustling for the gig. And that's what I'd have to be doing for the poetry and stuff.
Sure.
So I may just, as you say, just self-publish it, you know, nice little vanity press somewhere. And,
oh, yeah, they're everywhere. You know. And with computers and whatnot today, it's relatively easy to do that. Well, if you ever do, let me know, and you know, we'll get it written up in the Celtic Connection and talk about it on the radio and all of that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So what I've got picked out to play tonight from you, two of my favorites, January Man from your latest CD, the Wild Orchid CD, and then you had mentioned Athens Hotel, and I have always enjoyed Sister Josephine, and so I got those
Jake
two.
Jake Thackeray song, yeah.
Yeah, and then... Yeah. You had sent me a Yeats poem, a song of Wandering Angus. The singer is a lady named Jane Condon Grimes, and you said that Cole Cannon played the music for that particular tune. So, what are the stories behind January Man, Sister Josephine, and your collaboration with Jane Condon Grimes?
Okay, well, Jake Thackeray, the Sister Josephine song. I saw Jake Thackeray on television when I was living in England, and it would have been the very early 70s. I think it was around about 1971, something like that. And he came on like an evening show and just sang that song, Sister Josephine, and I just thought, wow, that's great. And I checked him out, and he actually had a gig on an English television show, a weekly show, where he would come in and he would sing a song about events that had happened or some particular event that had happened during the week. Like, so for instance, one week they were having the Miss World competition in London. So he came in and sang a song that he'd written called Miss World, you know, and that was his gig, basically. I saw him live once in Lancaster when I was at university there, and I, you know, he was just a wordsmith. The guy had just a beautiful way with words, and could write incredibly touching and also incredibly hilarious songs. So I was a fan of his for a long time, and so that's how it really got onto a Cole Cannon album. Mm-hmm. January Man was a very popular song in the folk clubs in England and Ireland, in the early 70s as well. A lot of people sang it a cappella. So Martin Carthy, for instance, sang it. Bert Jansch, Archie Fisher. I mean, almost every sort of well-known folk singer in England at the time sang and recorded the January Man. And we were playing a concert out in Oregon, and after the show, a guy came up and started talking about the January Man and what a great song it was and how you just never hear it anymore, you know? And I remembered it and went and did a bit of research on it, and I found that the author of it is very, very particular about the words of his songs. If anybody messes with his songs, he gets very, very annoyed about it and lets them know. But apparently the words of January Man have appeared in English textbooks for school children as a poem in there. The guy who wrote it, Dave Golder, he must be nearly 90 now, but he still works as a dry stone waller in the north of England. I've exchanged some emails with him, you know, just to make sure that he was getting the royalties okay, because the whole thing with royalties and CDs now has kind of changed quite a bit. A lot of composers and writers go around the agencies that take care of royalties. Mm-hmm. You know, that you can just kind of contact them directly, mm-hmm. send them the money that way. So that's how January Men came around. And then with Jane, Jane was just a really, really nice singer and did a lot of work with Bill Douglas. In Boulder, and people were always telling her that she needed to have her own album. So she decided, yeah, she would, and she wanted Kilcannon. She'd heard Kilcannon and thought that what we were doing would like suit what she wanted to do really well. So she got Mike Fitzmaurice, our bass player, to produce the album, and we played on most of the tracks. I think Bill Douglas played on some of them. I'm not sure that there was any overlap, but he played some of the tracks, and we played a whole bunch of them too. So,
what year was that?
That would have been 1996.
And the title of the album was The Shore. Is that?
Yeah.
And it's apparently out of print. I looked for it and
We still have some copies of it.
Really?
We got copies of it from Jane because we at one time were selling them at our shows.
Ah.
And you know the thing about it is it didn't kind of sell that well because it didn't have, you know, I mean, we told people we were playing on it, but as far as they were concerned, it was somebody else's album.
Oh, and, sure.
You know,
sure.
Why bother? You know.
Sort of. Yeah.
But it's a lovely album, and I just had a blast making it too.
Well, that sounds wonderful.
And,
all right. Well,
Do you have a copy of it?
I do not. I would love one if.
Well, I will get you one.
I would greatly appreciate that.
Yeah.
And I think the. Station must have a copy of it in the library because it came up when I entered it on the computerized set list. So,
okay. Well, there you go. But I'll get you one for yourself.
That would be lovely, yeah. Mick. And I think I will probably have enough time to close out the show playing January Man, Sister Josephine, The Song of Wandering Angus by Jane Condon Grimes, accompanied by Cole Cannon, and maybe one other one. But it, as always, has been a pleasure speaking with you, and I would encourage all of our listeners to get down to Denver to Swallow Hill on Saturday night, October 26th. Doors at 7, show at 8, and Take Down the Door in the first half, Colt Cannon in the second half, and tickets available at the door.
Uh-huh.
So, Mick, it has been a pleasure as always. Thank you very much for calling in, and I look forward to seeing you on Saturday night.
Okie doke, yeah, I'll see you there. You're taking photos, I believe.
Oh, of course, always.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I'll try to look good for you.
All right, Mick. Take care.
Yeah.
Thanks. Good night.
Okay. Yeah, take care. Bye.
Bye.
Shakes the snow from off his head and blows his hands. The man of March, he sees the spring and wonders what the year will bring, and hopes for better weather. Through April rain, the man goes down to watch the birds come in to share the summer. The man of May stands very still, watching the children dance away the day. In June, the man inside the man is young and wants to lend a hand, and grins at each newcomer. And in July, the man in cotton shirt, he sits and thinks on being idle. This man in thousands takes the road to watch the sea and find the sun. September man is standing near to saddle up and lead the year. Autumn is his bridal. The reins and early frost is on his shoulders. The poor November man sees fire and wind and mist and rain and winter air. December man looks through the snow to let 11 brothers know. Another turn and walk along the icy roads he knows so well. The January man is here for start of each and every year. Along the road forever.
What do all these policemen mean, coming to the convent in a grim limousine after Sister Josephine? While you, Sister Josephine, your boots up on the altar screen, you smoke one last cigar. What's a funny nun you are? The policemen say that Josephine's a burglar in disguise, Big Bad Desmond, 15 years on the run. The sisters disbelieve it, no, that can't be Josephine. Just think of all her tenderness towards the younger nuns. Oh, Sister Josephine, they're searching the chapel where you've been seen, the nooks and the crannies of the nuns' canteen, after Sister Josephine. While you, Sister Josephine, you sip one farewell Benedictine before your au revoir. What's a funny nun you are? Admittedly, her hands are big and hairy and embellished with the curious tattoo. Admittedly, her voice is on the deep side, and she seems to shave more often than the other sisters do. Oh, Sister Josephine, founder of the convent poker team, they're going through those bundles of your funny magazines after Sister Josephine. While you, Sister Josephine, give a farewell whiff of Benzedrine to the convent Budgeriga. A bloody funny nun you are. No longer will her snores ring through the chapel during prayers, or her lustful morning fill the stilly night. No more empty bottles of altar wine come clunking down the stairs. No longer will the cloister toilet seat stand upright. Oh, Sister Josephine, slipping through their fingers like Vaseline, leaving them to clutch your empty crinoline. After Sister Josephine, while you, Sister Josephine, sprinting through the suburbs when last seen, dressed only in your wimple and a rosary, a right funny nun you seem to me.
I went out to the hazel wood because a fire was in my head, and cut and peeled a hazel wand and hooked a berry to a thread. And when white moths were on the wing and moth-like stars were flickering out, I dropped the berry in a stream and caught a little silver trout. When I had laid it on the floor, I went to blow the fire aflame. But something rustled on the floor and someone called me by my name.
Jane Condon Grimes, Song of the Wandering Angus, and lovely words that Ray Bradbury picked up and wrote one of his fine science fiction books, The Golden Apples of the Sun. Before that, Sister Josephine and January Man by Col Cannon. Coming up to the top of the hour, I'm not going to have enough time to play the whole song, but I'll get started anyway with White Birds by Beth Gadbaugh and Margot Krimmel from their Live at the Black Rose Acoustic Society album. And I think White Birds, the poem by Yeats, provided the title for the label that Beth and Margot publish their songs under. Anyway, coming up to the top of the hour, stay tuned at 8 o'clock for Musica Mundi with Maria Coe. So here is a bit of White Birds by Beth Gadbaugh and Margot Krimmel. Take us up to the top of the hour, and then I'll hand it off to Maria.
I've met some folks who say that I'm a dreamer, and I've no doubt there's truth in what they say. But sure, a body's bound to be a dreamer when all the things he loves are far away, and precious things are dreams unto an exile. They take him.
Well, obviously that wasn't Beth and Margot. Hit the wrong track. That was Lake of Industry, I think, Tommy Fleming. So it's 8 p.m. You're listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Stay tuned now for Musica Mundi with Maria Coe.
Thank you for stopping by Musica Mundi. My name is Mariah, and on this snowy evening here on the Front Range, we're going to do something a little bit different for Musica Mundi because we can. We are independent, community-powered radio. So tonight, to help you settle in and relax during the snowstorm, we're playing all extended tracks, all from 9 minutes to 12 minutes, from different places around the globe. Hope you enjoy. Stay tuned.
Yes, we done the mum when we is in it. Yesudan follanawi yezine Yesudan bombonawi yezine Yesudan hosowi yezine Yesudan bombonawi yezine Yesudan follanawi yezine Yesudan follanawi yezine Yesudan hosowi yezine Yesudan mamadu yezine Yes, we're done for.